This is an extract from the Nature podcast. For the full show, go to nature.com/nature/podcast.
In the developed world, the leading cause of death by disease in children over the age of one is cancer. Fortunately, childhood or paediatric cancers are rare, and cure rates have increased to about 80%, which is fairly high. But that's a number that hasn't really changed much in recent years.
Honestly, in the time that I was involved with pediatric oncology, which is the last 15 years, there was not too much of a progress. We basically are stuck at 80%.
This is Stefan Pfister from the German Cancer Research Center.
We will probably not get much further by doing more of the same, which was largely optimizing chemotherapy and radiotherapy protocols and combining them in a meaningful way.
To try and get over this upper ceiling of 80%, his group has taken an alternative approach to look at the genomes of the tumours themselves in the hope that sequencing their DNA could tell us more about the mutations that may be driving cancer and provide targets for treatment. This week, Nature is publishing two papers which analyse the genomes across multiple cancer types in children. The papers represent the first ever analyses of this type, and Stefan Pfister is one of the authors. His study looked at almost 1,000 tumours across 24 cancer types.
Research is usually disease focused, right? So everyone is doing a genome study in a particular type of cancer, but usually we don't really make the comparison with other cancers. And since pediatric cancers are really fundamentally different from adult cancers, we cannot really extrapolate so much from the adult world. And what we felt now timely was to really take all of this data together and to really assess what is specific about one cancer type or a set of cancer types in comparison to the others.
The study highlights several key ways in which the genomic landscape of childhood cancers differs from adult cancers.
On average, in pediatric cancers, in comparison to the typical adult cancers, the number of mutations across the whole cancer genome is about 15-fold lower. And what we conclude from this is really that also when trying to specifically use some of these mutations potentially to attack the tumor, we probably have a higher likelihood of finding something to fight.
The analysis also looked at mutations that the children were born with, as opposed to those that accumulated in their lifetime.
We think that it's probably about 10% of pediatric tumours that are caused by inherited factors. There are many of these that basically also come along with either resistance to certain types of therapy, but also with a higher sensitivity of secondary malignancy. So these are the patients that we want to really filter out to make sure that even, you know, when curing the first tumor, to not induce a second tumor based on our therapy a few years down the line.
The studies also found that the mutated genes in childhood cancers are generally different to those found in adult cancers. In adults, while multiple cancer types, brain, pancreatic, liver, often share the same mutations, in children, different cancer types tend to have their own specific set of mutations. All of which confirms what paediatricians have long known, that we have to think of childhood cancers as separate from adult cancers. This is Mimi Bandopadhyay from Harvard University, who wrote a News and Views article on the studies.
So you can imagine that an adult who develops a tumour, they've been around for many years and their cells have had more exposure to environmental things that can cause mutations, which can cause cancers, for example, UV light in the sun for melanoma or cigarette exposure for lung cancer, for example. Whereas children, we see cancers sometimes even before babies are born. That gives us a clue that unlike adult cancers where you can get an accumulation of mutations that might then cause the cell to become a tumour, in pediatrics, often it just takes one and then that can actually trigger a tumour to form.
So what might all this mean for cancer treatment? Stefan and his colleagues searched for mutations that could potentially be targeted by existing drugs or drugs in development. And in 50% of the tumours, they found one.
By having a certain genetic mutation, this does not, of course, not mean that the tumour will be responsive to a drug that is targeting this gene or this mutation. But then we also have the 50% of cases where we don't have a very clear drug target. And there we really have to learn a lot more about vulnerabilities.
Mimi says that these findings are cause for optimism. But she also told me that cataloguing the mutations is only the first step.
The next key step is we need to understand how the mutations are actually causing the tumor cells to grow, right? So if you have a mutation in gene X, what does that do to the cell to make it more oncogenic is the word that we use, or to behave more like a tumor? And then we've learned from, this is where the adult cancers will guide us, we've learned from our adult colleagues that cancers are, they're stubborn things in that when you treat a cancer with a medication, they will adapt or evolve to become resistant. And so in addition to identifying targets, working out how the targets are causing cancers and how to inhibit it, we also need to study how the tumors are expected to become resistant so that we can go in with combination treatments to try and stop these tumors from becoming resistant to single agents.
Nevertheless, childhood cancer analyses like these could be important for future research. Mimi hopes the approach could help create more tailored and less damaging treatments for children.
So I'm both a researcher, but I also see children in clinic. I actually went back to school and did my PhD after training to become an oncologist because I couldn't bear to see children come to clinic and for us to have no treatments to offer. I believe that these sorts of studies and other studies that are going around the world at the moment collaboratively will move the bar, and I really hope that by the time I retire, things are going to be different, where kids come to clinic with what are currently incurable brain tumors, and we're going to have treatments that will target their tumors and a way to give these kids and their families hope and a chance.
Mimi Bandopadhyay and Stephen Pfister talking to Anand Jagatia. You can read both the analyses and the News and Views article at nature.com/nature.